The Klamath River has gotten a lot of coverage in the last few years with the removal of four dams and the slow but promising resurgence of salmon, but it's easy to overlook the decades of effort by Indigenous groups and their allies to get the dams removed. Our next guest knows that firsthand. Brooke Thompson is a Karuk and Yurok tribal member who grew up along the river. In 2002, she witnessed the death of more than 34,000 salmon in a single month due to disease spread largely caused by environmental factors created by the dams. That inspired her to go to school to become an engineer and now to write a children's book entitled I Love Salmon and Lampreys. She's currently working on earning her PhD in environmental studies from UC Santa Cruz, where she studies water, politics, restoration, and salmon. Brooke, welcome.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
So I imagine most of our listeners are familiar with what a salmon is, but what's a lamprey?
So a lamprey is also a fish, although many people think it's an eel because of how it's shaped. But a lamprey is a fish that lives along the Klamath River, and like a salmon, it also goes upstream to breed, but also goes out to the ocean for several years as it grows up and comes back home. And it is a species that is around 450 million years old, meaning it's older than the T-Rex, sharks, and sturgeon. And in addition to that, it's one tasty meal.
And what's their significance to the Klamath River?
Oh, man. I mean, that's such a broad question. That's kind of like asking what the significance of air to people is. The significance of salmon and lamprey, one is the fact that it's one of the main food sources for the people along the Klamath River. And as people who've had a relationship with the river since time immemorial, without the salmon and lamprey to give us those healthy nutrients, proteins, and vitamins to live, we aren't able to be our best selves to then help manage the river and the surrounding ecosystem. In addition to all the nutrients that the salmon and lamprey bring into the system, such as being food not only for people, but birds such as eagles, as well as cougars, bears, and then also the carcasses being pulled out on the land from these different animals feeds the plants around the area, such as the redwood trees. So the salmon and lamprey's significance is being this amazing resource for food, in addition to being our relatives, in the sense that I see the salmon and lamprey almost like my family members or a cousin, right? So I want to make sure they inherently get to live a happy and healthy life. And the better that they do, the better I do as a person.
So tell me about yourself. What was your childhood like and how was the Klamath River a part of it?
Yeah, so my childhood, I grew up on the mouth of the Klamath River, which is in the northwestern part of California. And I grew up where the mouth of the river meets, so the ocean meeting the river itself. And my childhood was surrounded by fishing for salmon, in addition to swimming in the river, rowing my boat, and pretty much all activities such as like camping and family time and ceremony is spent in connection to the river. So I like to say when I go back home, home to me is not a specific house or a singular place, but when I get to be on the Klamath River and see the redwood trees, that's what home feels like to me, and that's where I feel safe. So every single day in the summertime was spent either at ceremony, fishing, or preparing for fishing.
And you say that one of the most impactful moments of your life was in September 2002 when tens of thousands of salmon died in short succession. So what happened?
Yeah, so in 2002, I was 7 years old, and I witnessed the largest fish kill in West Coast history, where as a seven-year-old, these salmon that were dying were the same size as my own body. And seeing these species that I see as relatives dead on the shoreline, rotting, affected me very deeply, not only for the fact that, right, this was like one of my main food sources, this was the activity I did with my family, that I see them as relatives, but also knowing that these salmon are the descendants of salmon that my ancestors took care of and managed so that I could have enough fish to eat. And so losing that connection to my ancestors and that generation of salmon was also devastating. And I have since then, since being 7 years old and seeing that, have just wanted to make sure that never happens to my community or any community ever again.
And you're going to school to help make sure that happens.
Yeah. So my I have two engineering degrees, including a master's in civil and environmental with a focus on water resources and hydrology, where I got to study dams a bit at Stanford. And now I study spring versus fall salmon and restoration techniques with tribes through UC Santa Cruz. So my whole goal with my education and my book and everything I do is to make sure people are educated and make sure the future of engineering and water policy is one that not only people thrive in, but fish can thrive in, which go hand in hand, but not everyone seems to recognize that.
And you have a current role with the Yurok tribe, is that correct?
Yes, currently I'm a restoration engineer for the Yurok tribe.
And what does that entail?
Oh man, it is such a complex job, and I get to do so many different activities. I got to spend some time collecting seeds on the upper Klamath that are now being planted as part of the restoration effort. I got to do some grubbing, so taking away invasive species like star thistle as well. I get to help pretty much other engineers make streams and habitats more sustainable for fish species. And I also work with Oregon State University currently on one of their grants to look at water quality and river health and the Klamath River and how different communities along the Klamath River see kind of what they want the future of the Klamath River management to be an issue they see along the Klamath.
So let me talk about, you know, we talked about September 2002, but what about July 2023 when the first of four dams was removed from the river? What did that feel like to finally see the river flowing freely for the first time in your life?
Oh, man, it's kind of like it feels like carrying almost the weight of the dam on my back this entire time. Like, I'm a fan of weightlifting, and if you're doing like a squat, it feels like just carrying that weight on my shoulders this entire time. And as I got to see that those dams be removed slowly but surely, it felt like as the dams are being taken down and that concrete and those rocks were being removed, it felt like that same weight was being removed from my own shoulders. And just being able to relax and take a deep breath for the first time since being a 7-year-old, now being 29. And just also that feeling of relief of seeing fellow tribal members and conservation folks crying of happiness. Because after being told this wasn't going to happen and that we were asking for the impossible, to see that despite everything that was against us, not giving up has made this a reality, and working with different partners and hundreds of people, including some of those who do not get the privilege to see the dam removal and yet were big parts of the fight for it.
My guest is Brooke Thompson. She's a Karuk and Yurok tribal member working towards her PhD in environmental studies and the author of a new children's book, I Love Salmon and Lampreys. So let's talk a little bit more about that fight. You know, this was decades and decades of advocacy. Were you involved in that? And what all was involved in actually getting these dams to be removed?
So I played a very little role in all of this. My side has been more on trying to be educated on the topic so I can be a better advocate from an engineering and science perspective as well as policy, in addition to my traditional and tribal understanding. And also because it started when I was 7 years old, it's mainly been following in the steps of the adults at the time and just seeing how I can support, whether that has been through protests and rallies in Sacramento at the state capitol or at PG&E in Portland, Oregon, and trying to get the word out of like why this is important and why people should care. And that's more than just, you know, sports fishing or loss of a fun activity. It's really the difference between life and death for many tribal members who rely on it as a main food source, and also for mental health through the cultural connection. And for me, going to those protests and rallies and just being able to give that little bit of support or maybe a little bit more education from that science and engineering perspective has been my role in the dam removal. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that it took so many people and so many different groups coming together, but through in large part tribal leadership in the Klamath River Basin.
Of course. And I imagine this book is a huge part of your educational efforts. So what kind of made you decide that you wanted to write this book?
Yeah, I mean, one of the main reasons I wrote this book, I Love Salmon and Lampreys, is because a lot of kids being born right now will have the privilege of never knowing this tragedy and having dams on the Klamath River that we worry about and talk about every single year. And I want them to know that the story of this tribe's triumph, and really California and Oregon's triumph in having this project be completed in a way that's easy to understand and a little bit, you know, fun through the pictures to learn about. So it's my way on the story to younger cousins who did not experience this fight growing up like I did, and as well as being a place to give hope and inspiration to other kids, because there's so much eco-anxiety out there and so much that we're told we can't do. And so for me, this is a story of hope and being able to show resiliency that we made it a reality to hopefully inspire more effort among youth when so much seems hopeless right now when it comes to climate and then the environment.
And you mentioned the pictures, and you know, those were one of my favorite parts of the book, like the beautiful watercolor illustrations. And I was a little surprised to see your illustrator was a Ukrainian woman. So tell me about Anastasia and why you chose her to illustrate this book.
Yeah, so I found her online, and one of the things I wanted in an illustrator was someone who could do watercolor that I really like, because since the book's so much about water, it only makes sense that the book's in watercolor. But in addition to that, I wanted to try to find someone who maybe could use extra income. And with the war going on in the Ukraine, it seemed like she was a perfect choice because I love her images so much. And she did an amazing job. And it was kind of a collaboration where I got to sketch out the layout for many of these images, having her never been to this area or, you know, even California, and then showing her many reference photos of the things I wanted painted, and then going back and forth on the images that I took myself of the area and layouts with her stylistic techniques in watercolor.
And I was pretty impressed to see this book is written in an accessible font for people with dyslexia. So what makes this font more accessible, and why did you choose to use it?
Yeah, so Open Dyslexic is the font it's written in, which is weighted differently. So because the letters are weighted unevenly, like AKA, like if there's an O, the bottom of the O is thicker than the top, which makes it harder for someone with dyslexia to flip around letters such as P, B, and D. So it just makes reading a little bit easier for those with reading disabilities. And I chose that because I myself have severe dyslexia, and it's been such a difficulty all my life, and especially as a kid, to enjoy reading when it's just been so difficult for me. And it was just such an easy choice to change the font. And my hope is that those with disabilities, you know, can also enjoy the book just as much as anyone else. And that when we can do things that make a piece of text or art just that much more accessible to everyone else, it can really make a big difference in a kid's life. And so for me, that was an easy switch to make, and kind of is just calling out to my younger self, or a love letter to myself as a kid, being like, you know, not only did I have trouble writing and reading, that I wrote and published a book despite my learning difficulties, and that it's in a way that I could have had an easier time growing up if I had this book myself.
So what do you think is needed for the Klamath River and the salmon and lampreys to become healthy and vibrant once again?
Oh, that's such a big question. I mean, I guess to start out, one is better releases. So just because the dams are removed doesn't mean the amount of flows that are released and the times they're released are enough for healthy survival. I think it includes continued restorations of the streams and creeks that are connected to the Klamath River, so the salmon have a place that they can lay their eggs, in addition to better ocean politics and fishing regulations in the ocean, since salmon spend a lot of their life in the ocean. And at the base of everything, I think it really requires more indigenous acknowledgement of traditional ecological knowledge and leadership within policy and politics, not only in the U.S., but around the world. Because we have been successfully managing this river and salmon population since time immemorial. And it's only since we've been removed that we've had all these issues. And we have so many great understandings of the river and what needs to happen for the salmon, and considering them not just as a resource, as a dollar sign, but as family members, as relatives, as beings that deserve respect and kindness, just like anyone else of our, as we call it, like two-legged relatives. So for me, again, restoration, flows, and indigenous leadership and acknowledgement of traditional ecological knowledge, in addition to seeing salmon not only as resources but relatives.
Thank you. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have, but thank you for speaking with me, and thank you for this incredible book.
Yeah, thank you so much. I hope anyone who has the chance to read it really enjoys the story and gets to see really what the Klamath River is through my eyes.